Hello and welcome to Entrepreneurship Policy Pulse, a podcast by the Faith Institute of Faith Foundation. Our conversations would revolve around Nigeria's entrepreneurship ecosystem, touching on key thematic areas and preferring policy recommendations. This podcast would feature researchers, policy influencers, and stakeholders within Nigeria's entrepreneurship ecosystem. Hello there. Welcome to the concluding part of the conversation on Nigeria's fiscal and monetary policy outlook, implications for Nigeria's entrepreneurship ecosystem. Our guest is still Dr. Tayo Adeleju, who is the Chief Officer and Senior Fellow Economic Policy, Strategy and Competitiveness at the Nigerian Economic Summit Group. If you haven't listened to the initial part of this conversation, you can find it wherever you listen to podcasts. You had mentioned that, you know, the impact of this would go on for a while. How do businesses survive in this phase? What type of support systems or structures or interventions do we need to have in place?
So there are two ways to deal with the high inflationary environment. One way is to keep raising interest rates. And CBN has already maxed out that memo. You know, there's been the NPR has moved every quarter by 1 or 1.5 points every quarter for the last 1 year, right? So we are doing that already. It's not abating because, of course, you can't be raising NPR and then do what you did with the new Naira currency, which triggered its own inflationary pressure.
Right.
So two things to do that could be useful is one is to think of adjusted interest rates for MSMEs. That's something that we could consider. The other thing is to accelerate economic stimulus or investments in sectors that directly impact MSMEs. So for example, stable electricity, okay, with a conscious effort to not ask MSMEs to pay more for electricity. What you call electricity tariff subsidy, a targeted subsidy in electricity tariff, where if you're an MSME, okay, the government basically exempts you from a higher tariff rate. We have currently in some parts of the country, where certain locations pay different electricity tariff because of their location.
Yes.
So Ikoyi doesn't pay what Gege pays ahead. It's something like that, but that will now only be possible where you're dealing with geographically targeted MSMEs. Because if you're an MSME, then in Ikoyi, there's no hope for you. You're likely paying what the big man is paying. But some more targeted interventions at MSMEs will be important. But when you think of the ease of doing business for MSMEs, it is tax. Well, that's for those that are formal MSMEs. It's tax and it is electricity and it is access to credit. You know, the Faith Institute has a lovely report on access to capital.
So by the way, you can access all the reports that Dr. Tayo is referencing at www.faithfoundation.org/research.
Okay, great. So you have a report on access to capital that basically points to the bottlenecks. So when you look at the finance service value chain, the conditions already didn't work for SMEs before this current crisis. Many of them complained that the conditions of access was a problem. The cost of access was a problem. The speed of access to capital is a problem. And then the type of capital, right, is a problem. What we would need to see from this government is a financial system strengthening where we go back and rethink how do we finance MSMEs.
Okay.
I think the financing of MSMEs should have a broader template that includes a better insurance system to support MSMEs. It means that insurance companies really likely recapitalize to do that type of business. The second is commercial lending to MSMEs needs to be almost legislated off the balance sheet of commercial banks and financial institutions. so that there is some regulation in banking that forces them to do more than less for MSMEs in terms of this, the percentage of their balance sheet going to MSMEs. There are big issues of de-risking MSMEs that are still semi-formal. When you discuss access to credit, one of the biggest challenges with the sector we want to protect is that a sector cannot be protected if it does not become visible to the financial system. And so you go into the question of structure and the ability to scale up just the basic things. Some of the things that we've done at the NESG, you know, for example, is that the new CAMA eases the process of business registration. Some of those should naturally come along to help this process. The Secure Transactions Act for immovable assets register has not performed as well as we wanted it to perform in terms of using movable assets by MSMEs as collateral to get credit. And the banks have not leveraged it in such a way and tested it in such a way that it has become a useful alternative. That's something that needs to happen. We need to improve other types of access. Most MSMEs are in a value chain where goods are stored in warehouses. And we still do not have a warehouse receipt system in Nigeria that makes warehouse receipts a collateral. You know, so there are big pieces of the financial system that have not evolved specifically to favor the MSME. The transformation of cooperatives into microfinance institutions is something that has come too slowly. Most informal sector MSMEs will be formalized through a cooperative. If you look at the data, they are more inclined to formalize through a cooperative than through a bank, right? Therefore, we need to start to think organically about how do you transform, you know, trade cooperatives that already do business together, they know each other, etc., as the way to move to more formal structures. So I think I will say that government's investment in formalization is a big part of solving the problem, as long as what we don't do is we do not now subject cooperatives that are transforming to MFIs, to registered MFIs, to the same type of commercial rules that guide commercial banks that have stifled growth completely. So I think that a lot has to do in the financial systems deepening that focuses on the kind of credit, the kind of capital that is required by MSMEs. MSMEs also are in the riskier part of the value chain. They do not have the amount of tools to hedge big risks like foreign exchange shocks that on their balance sheet that a big corporate will have. Therefore, they are prone to big shifts like the shifts that have come from unification of the foreign exchange rate, which is the second big policy that's come out the door. The NESG supports the unification of the exchange rate, by the way, and this is because before this, we had multiple windows where those that could access authorities got a more favorable rate, and those that didn't basically went to the open market to get theirs, creating a default hidden subsidy for some people and basically punished others. And so anything that moves towards a fairer system where everybody is in the market, you know, pricing and buying and selling at a rate that is reflective of the demand for FX is key. The big question is, how do you reduce the demand for FX? One is to increase the amount of swaps you could do between Naira and other currencies, particularly from big trading partners. If, when Nigeria is trading with China, we shouldn't go to the USD at all because of the size and the volume of the trade, right? If we just traded between Naira and Yuan and didn't go to the USD, nobody will demand for the USD Nigeria. They'll demand for the currency they need, right? So what's happening? But because, of course, many Nigerians are comfortable also saving their money in USD. So there's that drive for it. I think what we are seeing now in the market will will adjust once the speculators stop speculating. Because everybody's still speculating, will he, after right. after 3 months, will he keep it or will he not keep it?
Right.
But for now, that's another pressure point for the MSME, because whatever you are bringing in is now at this single rate, right? Which, by the way, was the only rate MSMEs could historically get in the last 7-8 years. Many of the small boys could not access the 450 that they were calling, were buying in the open market. Okay, so some people will argue, we were buying it before now, you know, as the Nigerian, you know, way of saying this pressure was here. It's just that only some of us are feeling it, now all of us are feeling it.
And so I think, in a way, just judging from your response, the government is already doing some work, you know, to support businesses and easing the pressure, as it were, from all of the policy implementation that's ongoing.
I won't say. Look, I would say that the subsidy,
at least with the unification of all the exchange rate windows, right? So from your response, that sounds like something that's, you know, already been done, and maybe in a way they're on the right path.
Yeah,
you know.
So I think we're on the right path, but I don't think we're there yet. Uh-huh. And I think it is too
early
to say uhuru. I think where we are is a place where we're in a delicate place, because we have now created a perfect storm in terms of vulnerabilities. High inflationary environment, high interest rates, high cost of doing business across board.
Okay.
So we must see market and sector reforms begin to create cushions and adjustments.
And so essentially, access to credit is definitely something the government
should
be looking
at. Yes, access to credit, huge investments
in
electricity, things like
electricity, energy,
cost of doing business.
And infrastructure.
Yeah, absolutely. And in addition to that, some incentives for investors who now cannot argue that they can't see how to repatriate their funds. They don't know what interest rate they'll come into the market and out of the market at. Those things are now being sold. So if you look at the PFI financial markets is rallying, because they're saying, yeah, we can. Now the question is, how do you create incentives for financial markets and investors to put more money in Nigeria? Our guess is that if we put $100 billion worth of investments in Nigeria, it will neutralize your inflation effect almost completely. We would immediately see an adjustment. And so the question for the new government is not simply to say, we've done this, let's see what happens. No, we now need to see some aggressive global investment promotion going on to say, now that we have adjusted to a more predictable, stable market set
bring
of policies that is fair for everyone, bring your money to Nigeria. We need to see, the president needs to appoint some Nigerian marketers, investment marketers globally.
Right.
And as those investments come in, the investments will impact sectors that MSMEs are in, they will draw more value, the market will expand to absorb the investment and create opportunities. The MSMEs will feed off those opportunities. Their balance sheet will change because of that also. And that will affect their profitability. Government can now tax their profit. It will increase government revenues. That will bring down both the cost of doing business, reduce inflation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
We can begin to sing Kumbaya.
in the medium term.
Okay, so you've begun to touch on my next question, which really looks at the outlook and what we can expect. I mean, we're already seeing this happen. So you began to touch on some of the points I was about to ask in my next question, which is really the outlook with regards to fiscal and monetary policy, right? So on the back of what we're saying now, what should we expect going forward? Do we expect to see more reforms being introduced? I mean, right now, everybody's still trying to adjust to some of the introductions that we're seeing already. But what should we expect? What's the outlook looking like?
I mean, just going by the things the president has promised, right? The outlook based on how he has behaved. So you have to, I mean, remember that this is less than a month.
yes.
of the Tinubu presidency.
Yes.
How he has behaved. So the pace, the scope and the structure of his reforms gives a lot of positive outlook. Okay. And that's just not from Nigeria, it's from the world. You're hearing it from investment communities, you're hearing it from the World Bank, IMF, you're hearing it from Paris Club, you're hearing it from Wall Street. Okay. Everyone is saying, dude, if you sustain this pace of reforms, you have our attention. Okay. For what? So what, right? The big mm-hmm. question is, mm-hmm. so what? Mm-hmm. In the next few weeks, the president needs to appoint ministers. The ministers need to reflect their understanding of what it takes to make the markets adjust quickly to mm. reduce the burden that Nigerians and MSMEs are feeling today. Mm. That yeah, is not something I can bet on till I see the ministerial list. Right. So the ministerial list and the kind of people he appoints and their understanding of markets and how to support markets with policy, regulation, and rules to adjust properly will be interesting to see.
Right.
The second thing is there's a positive outlook on growth. Okay. If he can bring in the kind of investments I spoke about earlier. So right. imagine that we can attract $60 to $100 billion worth of investments into Nigeria in 12 months, mm-hmm. which is, by the way, very visible. Possible, mm-hmm. very doable. Mm-hmm. That will significantly change the dynamics. Okay. Nigeria removing subsidies should be on track to pay its debts. Okay. Okay, so one of the things about the subsidy removal is that we are not at risk of defaults.
Okay.
So because we're not at risk of defaults, we can now sit down with the global financial institutions to negotiate for resources to pursue our development agenda. And so we expect a very competent and robust set of conversation between Nigeria and the multilateral institutions that mm-hmm. she needs to collaborate with to get stuff done. Okay. If that happens, we should see inflation come down as we see growth triggered by investments on one hand, or trade on the other mm-hmm. hand. This is a government that has promised to be self-sufficient, but also to aggressively export made in Nigeria goods
right.
elsewhere.
Right.
That's MSME.
Yep.
The backbone of all export expansion is the strength of your middle-sized and small firms and supporting industries, right? So if we pursue an aggressive expansion program, Nigeria has the potential of going from a near where we do approximately $55 to $59 billion worth of trade.
Mm.
Imagine we go from that to $100 billion dollars worth of trade, again, possible to us in the short term.
Right.
What that would mean just in terms of the balance of trade. Now, imagine that we can do that in the medium term. MSMEs are back to work, sectors are back working, right. MSMEs can employ more people, they are more profitable, the country is earning more revenue outside of oil. Hopefully, our expansion of trade will be non-oil expansion of trade, which allows for other sectors yes. like agriculture,
exactly.
digital, creative, agro-allied health, education. Other services sectors we can export to come along and
right.
truly make a transformative difference.
Right.
The last thing that the current government has promised to do as a good signal is to more proactively compete in the African continental free trade area.
Mm.
In the last 8 years, we have struggled with our willingness to participate
mm-hmm.
because reforms for making local firms competitive were not coming quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So local firms were afraid that if you open Nigeria up to the African market,
right.
when they cannot be competitive, that other African competitors and peers will wipe local firms out. But I think that a government that promises, I will ensure you can compete with the rest of Africa,
mm-hmm.
okay, and then can follow through and keep their promises,
mm-hmm.
will then allow bolder entrepreneurs within the entrepreneurial ecosystem to then say, right, we have the support we need to pivot yeah. into West Africa, North Africa, East Africa, South Africa, and the rest of the world, as the case may be. So I think the question really is now, these are the things in the promise,
mm-hmm.
right? Can we get the promise to become action?
Mm-hmm.
The president has also promised big changes in the national security architecture, because one mm-hmm. of the one of the well-stated risks mm-hmm. of doing business in Nigeria beyond infrastructure and ease of doing business is security. Mm-hmm. We lost a big chunk of the food value system and value chains in Nigeria last year to simply farmers not being able to go to their farms because of kidnapping terrorists or right. something. So just improving
security,
the sense and the tangibility of safety and security of lives, property, businesses, and your investments and assets in Nigeria will also grow a spark of investment. There are many big cities in Nigeria that should be 24-hour economies that shut down at 5 p.m. because of security. Imagine that we achieved the level of ambient security where Kano, Abuja, Port Harcourt, Onitsha, Lagos, our big city economies and nerve centers are awake 24/7.
Right.
So imagine in Lagos is doing half of its real potential because it goes to sleep mostly because of security reasons, except in some parts of Lagos. Imagine you could keep Lagos awake where the economy is working 24 hours a day, like the way Dubai and other city economies work, the transformative effects of that alone. But that can happen if people are afraid boys will move at night. Yep. So the president has big promises to keep, but all doable. I think the last transformative thing that he's promised is to put youths to work. He's not said how.
Mm-hmm.
We hope he will say through MSMEs and not through direct labor. Because most governments end up saying, we'll give youths job, and then they want to give us direct jobs. Well, young people, I think they would like to see government support innovative, creative businesses that employ them rather than tell them to go and work on a farm. Which seems to be the way, we've caught the conservative ideological Nigeria thinks about job creation. So we have heard him say there will be a jobs plan. We haven't heard yet that jobs plan is tied to entrepreneurship and to drive entrepreneurship, especially driving the entrepreneurial ecosystem as against driving political entrepreneurs. Because over the years, there have been many interventions of the government that went to political entrepreneurs who were not doing anything before, and after the program were not doing anything after. Whereas there are thousands of real entrepreneurs who are creating products and services. And entrepreneurs, the entrepreneur ecosystem is significantly young. Again, a great report by the FATE Institute on the state of entrepreneurship in Nigeria 2022.
Yes.
I think we put the number of MSMEs that are young at,
over 50%, almost 70%.
But the challenge is that most of these businesses in a decade, are not surviving a decade. Only 2%, right, of these businesses survive their first 10 years.
So the hope is that, like you have described, with the positive outlook, we'd see a lot of growth within the entrepreneurship ecosystem. And I think this also brings me to the point of policy advocacy, which also brings me to my next question around what is the role of the NESG and particularly the MSME community of practice, and some context here, because the FATE Institute is the facilitator for the MSME community of practice within the NESG. But what is the role of the NESG and this community of practice in engaging in policy advocacy for an improved, policy and regulatory space? You touched on young people. It seems that that's a critical angle to drive advocacy around.
So the thing about it is that, I say to people, ask me what the NESG is. NESG is a three decades old policy and advocacy think tank led by the private sector. We are not government. Mm-hmm. We are private sector led. The entire board of the NESG are CEOs of the top corporates in Nigeria.
Right.
And so our agenda from 1993 was to create a more open, competitive, more diverse, more sustainable Nigerian economy. built on the principles of free market and free enterprise, a commitment to private sector-led investments, ease of doing business, the rule of law, rule-based markets, governance and national interest, and to ensure that it is done within democratic principles as the foundation for a modern Nigerian economy. Within that context, we have built several communities of practice that create, that overlook cross-cutting themes important to the Nigerian economy. So we have a committee of practice of youth, gender, and of course, we have a committee of practice on MSMEs. The MSME committee of practice is crucial to how the NESG thinks of the reform of the Nigerian economy, because if 75% of your economy is informal, and that 75%, 92% of it is MSMEs, you cannot transform your economy if you do not transform that sector. Also, no country has become competitive without paying attention to its medium and small size firms. There is, in fact, the rule of national competitive advantage is, if we look at any value chain and there are no medium and small size firms, it means the know-how to aggregate the skills, the capacity, the capability to convert raw material to finished products doesn't exist in your country. So MSMEs are crucial to us because there is no economic structure, no real economic foundation without them. Your big corporates do what big corporates do, but it means that you cannot aggregate the other value addition that comes from support services, related industries, etc. So we, having looked across all value chains in Nigeria, have come to a consensus and conclusion that all value chains remain broken without fixing MSMEs in Nigeria. If you look at agriculture, 85% of agriculture is still in the hands of smallholder farmers and small businesses. So you cannot transform agriculture in Nigeria without transforming the smallholder farmer and small agro enterprises. When you look at mining is in the hands of artisanal miners and small mining firms. Okay, again, almost 87% of mining. So again, you cannot transform mining and solid mineral sector without, when you look at creatives sector is again significantly, maybe even higher, 90% small and medium enterprises. You cannot transform creative industry and skill without them. You know, just, and as you go from value chain to value chain, you come to an interesting conclusion, right? That there is no economic growth in Nigeria without transforming the sector. And so we were looking for a partner in Nigeria that was vested, committed to building the entrepreneurial ecosystem, to lead and facilitate the committee of practice. And of course, we came to Faith Foundation, and within Faith Foundation, particularly, we're excited to work with Faith Institute because of Faith Institute's dedication already to policy advocacy, research, and the kind of catalytic interventions that help the entrepreneurial ecosystem grow in Nigeria. And so we are excited going into the future, looking at what that holds as a whole. But like I said, we have reached a conviction, conclusion, and consensus that there is no real sustainable economic growth in Nigeria without a, tangible, measurable, perceivable shift in MSMEs becoming formal. So formalization is a big factor for us, so MSME community of practice. Competitiveness. In other words, when you look at firms our size in Germany or in Europe, if firms our size can do what firms their size are doing, it means we're not competitive, right? Then capacity. When you look at small firms in Germany, I say Germany a lot because I've done some cross study in German MSMEs. They are not big firms. They are family owned companies. They are 10 people, 12 people, but the capacity, the know-how, the technical know-how, the business know-how, the value chains they're connected to, they do big things. You know, people, he had his names of German companies, and they are shocked when they go to Germany thinking they're going to see one big corporate house. It's just is a family business that is well run, well integrated into the value chain, and very efficient. So we think formalization is a critical issue. Competitiveness of our small and medium sized firms is a big issue. Capacity of us, so capacity development and capacity building, which is something that the FATE Foundation does maybe better than many of us are doing, is a big issue. And then lastly, value addition based on solid trade and industrial policy. This is where government enables those value chains to perform at higher levels, because government, through trade or through investment or through industrial policy, is allowing our MSMEs to interact with highly competent, highly capable firms. So for example, don't bring a firm that wipes out your furniture cluster in Abeokuta. Bring an investor that leverages your cluster to do more. Don't bring a firm that wipes out your fabrication cluster in Aba. Bring a firm as an investor to bring an enterprise that leverages all that fabrication capacity to do more. Don't take a firm that wipes out your rice belt in Ebonyi, in Abakaliki. Bring a firm that leverages the value chain there to do something significant. And so the idea we hope that the next government gets is to do trade and investment that allows the local firms grow. Because you can do the type of investments that destroy local firms, where you bring a firm that does exactly what your locals are good at doing. It takes their work and their jobs and leaves them broke. And doesn't transfer any technology, doesn't transfer any knowledge, doesn't add any value to the local ecosystem. So I think that we have to become deliberate and in engaging MSMEs to understand what they know to do well.
And by we, you're talking about the NHG and the community of practice.
So the real work in the community of practice is fixes. Is not to lecture Nigerians about what Nigerians know well. It's fixes. It's okay. We keep saying access to credit is a problem. Okay, what is the perfect set of financial services that MSMEs will need? What should it look like? What should the interest rates be? So the community of practice is not meant to be another soundbox or echo chamber shouting the same things people have heard. Community of practice is meant to be a fixer, almost. It's to go in and say, okay, we don't need to debate about access to credit being a problem of MSMEs. We know. Okay, what solutions, type of access of credit we need, do we need here? So you say, for example, capacity is a problem. What type of capacity? Sometimes we think of capacity as simply put them in class and just talk to them. But MSMEs look for real capacity. There are some sectors that, like, for example, smallholder farmers will never achieve cultivation rates like their peers around the world without mechanization. Forget about it. Yeah. So when you start to discuss certain sectors, certain capacities must be in certain sectors. Right. The number of silver screens. So if you talk to the guys in Nollywood in film, they tell you the number of silver screens in the country determines the competitiveness of the country in terms of stimulating demand, because their business is driven by market. The market is how many people saw the movie, right? That went to a screen to pay to see the movie. Determines the billboard figures and prizes. And that's driven by investment. Now, if nobody has a set of credit and capital portfolios that fund silver screens, which is a very unique business, you're not going to see that show up anywhere. And so we'll keep struggling with a few silver screens in Nigeria, driven by Film House, Genesis, Silverbird, etc., etc., etc. But it won't really change the total volume size, as the case may be. So each value chain then has specific capacities that we must build. And so the next question is, how do we give that some bite? The last is the know-how to scale anything does not sit in one location. It sits globally. Mm-hmm. And so we're hoping that the committee of practice will look at other communities and how they've evolved and be able to say, come on, this value chains require maybe know-how from a different environment. Mm-hmm. You know, countries that produce certain products know certain things.
Right.
People forget that before you couldn't make any movies in Nigeria. You couldn't make any world-class music videos in Nigeria. I had to go to South Africa. It was because there was an aggregation of certain know-how in South Africa for a while. But after our people went to South Africa for a while and understudied the South Africans, mm-hmm. then they could come home with the right capital. You know, right capital was now forming in Nigeria, mm-hmm. to now replicate some of that. However, we still have destination problems in terms of where to shoot, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Studio quality, real estate, still a big issue, mm-hmm. In that sector. Yeah.
So I think on that note, we've really exhausted all the questions that I have. And I think that on the final note is that what we're doing at the community of practice, like Dr. Sion has in-depthly explained and expatiated on, is to drive for solutions. Mm. At the end of the day, we're focusing on solutions around entrepreneurship and around entrepreneurs. And on that note, thank you very much, Dr. Tayo Adeleju, for the wealth of information that you've shared with us today. I'm sure that we've all learned one thing or another from this conversation. And so this has been Entrepreneurship Policy Pulse, and we've been discussing Nigeria's fiscal and monetary policy outlook and its implications for Nigeria's entrepreneurship ecosystem. Bye for now.